Welcome to the Emmaus Fellowship Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. Emmaus Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. We trust you find this encouraging as you pour over God's Word with us.
You gave me a voice and a song, taught me how to sing. Now I have brothers and sisters, gave me a family.
Just as a side note, I wasn't planning on doing it when Chris was starting to talk about how awesome you guys are here. I actually have to pray a lot and fast just to come and be with you because you're so awesome. I usually talk to, I'm serious, you guys need to know this. I am very honored to get to represent the Lord in a lot of different locations, and I talk about this place quite a bit. I have powerful encounters when I'm here. I've gotten directions from the Lord while I'm here. And I mean so consistently that I actually come here seeking the Lord for direction all the time because of what you guys carry. You bring the presence of the Lord. It's actually very refreshing. So thank you for just being functional Christians. It's truly an honor to be with you, and I do very much look forward to being with you guys. So grab your Bibles and go with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. So, you guys, could you stand just for a sec? Yeah, you and your husband. Yeah, you. And can you just kind of put your hands out like this? I feel like the Lord wants me to bless you real quick. So, Holy Spirit, would you draw near your son and daughter right now? So, during worship, I was looking over your guys' direction, and the Lord showed me a picture of a desire he has that he wants you to come into agreement with him. I saw the power of the Lord come into your household, and God is saying that a season of strengthening and goodness is going to capture both of your hearts. This is a time for the Lord to draw near to you and to love on you. And he's asking for an invitation. Invite him and he will come. Do you guys have a son, by the way? I actually saw the Spirit of the Lord. Did you just point at him? Oh, I just saw the Spirit of the Lord resting on him also. And the Lord said that he was going to draw near him and he's going to experience the goodness of the Lord in this next season in a way that he hasn't. And so, Father, I ask that you would bless him and strengthen him. And just be with this family and the good things that you've intended for them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you, guys. All right, Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 6. All right, it says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And he said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor was concerned about what the people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with this plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time, he refused. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about what people think, yet because of this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she will not eventually come. And this translation is interesting. And attack me. And the Lord said, now listen to what this unjust judge says. And will God not bring about justice for his chosen one, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they will get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? All right. As we look at this passage, we're going to begin to talk about prayer from this parable and why Jesus is teaching it. It's very interesting. Prayer has many dynamics in the kingdom of God. It's actually, to understand what it means to be in the kingdom instead of the system of the world is based on your understanding of what prayer is. Prayer is the life the breath of the kingdom of heaven. That is what God has called you and I to participate in, to connect with heaven, to see the benefits of heaven, to walk in all that God has for us. It is our lifeline. And so, depending on how well you understand that, how much you participate in it, I would say that my own background in the whole topic of prayer has changed, because I was always on the lifeline almost to the point where I was gasping and almost dying because I didn't understand the importance of it, that it's something that I need to participate all the time. And so Jesus is now beginning to talk to people about praying, but the bigger concern is not to lose heart. So why would people give up on prayer? And now Jesus is going to address this. There's something that goes on by living in a fallen world and our view of how things are that makes us give up. And so now Jesus wants to address this with you and I as humanity, and he wants a conversation with us through this story. Now, if you guys have heard teaching on parables, please understand that Jesus tells us the reason for parables, what we would call the basic understanding of a parable, is not just to tell the story. The Bible tells us that these are mysteries that are from eternity, that if God did not reveal it to us, we would not understand it. It's in a sense, it's like God's pulling a veil away to reality, but if he doesn't tell us this, we'd never see it in our natural experience. So God is now taking a mystery and saying, I'm going to let you understand the mystery of why people give up on prayer, why they don't continue on in it. And I think the story is very powerful, but the words that Jesus uses here, at least in the language of the Greek New Testament, even before he tells the story, is incredibly powerful. As I was looking at it, I'm like, wow, I don't even need the story. The words themselves carry this weight behind them that should encourage us, and hopefully as we do this, it'll happen that way. So Jesus told them a parable that they should always pray. I don't know if you guys ever do this, if you ever have this opportunity. Sometimes I'm in subjects so long and I've taught them so long, I assume I always know the meaning of things. I don't know if you guys are like that. And periodically, I have the Lord coming to me and saying, you need to go back to the foundation, start like you've never understood it again, and start studying it. And so I'm in the process of going over prayer again. And I know that every time, at least the last several times I've sensed the Lord do this, when he tells me to go study foundations, I'm missing something. And that's why I have to go back and look at the foundation. There's something of richness in the basics that I'm missing, and it's having an impact. And so when the Lord told me to go back and look at prayer, just the basic words of prayer, what they mean in the Old Testament, what do they mean in the New Testament, not the teaching on prayer, but the words, I started realizing, oh no, I've missed something again. So I'm not going to give you the Hebrew word, I am going to give you the Greek word, but the Hebrew word for prayer in the Old Testament is interesting, because what it does in the Old Testament is it kind of states a fact. Prayer is intercession and supplication. That's kind of how the definition of the Hebrew word works. It's supplication, intercession. And that's kind of all it says, that's the definition of the word prayer. When I came to the Greek New Testament, it exploded with meaning, the word for prayer. So Jesus is starting to say, I'm going to tell you a parable about prayer. But even in the beginning to introduce this idea about praying and not giving up, the word prayer in the Greek New Testament, you guys will enjoy this, I haven't studied it in 20 years. I've just taught on prayer. So there's two words that come together. We have what's called the basic word or meaning of the word for prayer in the Greek New Testament, and then there's this emphasizing part of the Greek that adds to it. And there's two words that are come together for the word prayer in the Greek New Testament. And what's interesting about the word pray is, you guys ready? It means to move forward. So this is an action word. And it means to, you're going to find this fascinating, it means to move forward or exchange something. We're still developing just the basic of the word. And it means to either have a wish, have a desire, or to have a forward prayer. Now, that's the beginning of the definition of the word for prayer in the New Testament. The word says it's a propelling forward to exchange something. So it's saying on man's side, here's how the Bible says prayer is done. Man comes with a desire, a wish, or a formed prayer, and they enter into what's called the circle of prayer. So prayer in the New Testament, the way the Greek word is used, is it's an event. It's a meeting place. It's not, now, you might not do this, I'm just giving this as an example to you, but prayer is not a place where you grab a bunch of stuff and promises of God, you go to God and you say, now here's the best way to run the universe, here's what I think you ought to do, have a good day, I'll see you on the other side. And then we look to see if he's answering that. And then if he doesn't, we take those back to him again and say, did you realize I actually said this to you yesterday? You didn't seem to grasp it, so I'm going to say it more intensely. See you on the other side. And then we look for the answer of prayer. That's not actually the meaning of the word prayer in the New Testament. So, we're still, if you can imagine, I'm taking time to explain this because this is how the Greek describes the word prayer. You and I come with, well, here's what I see in Scripture. I hope God does this. I'm going to form a prayer, but while I'm in the prayer circle, God has to enter into the prayer with me. In fact, the Bible uses the term for prayer in the New Testament. You actually have not prayed unless God enters the prayer circle with you. Isn't that fascinating? So it's now saying prayer is not an activity you do towards heaven. Prayer is a meeting place with a person. And the way the Greek definition of the word for prayer is fascinating. Until, it's not even just meeting God, until God comes and influences you in prayer, you haven't actually fulfilled the meaning of the word prayer in the New Testament. Isn't that fascinating? So that actually means that when I go into the prayer circle, I have to change my attitude about this whole thing called conversation with God, and until I meet him, I'm actually not engaging in prayer. And then the last part of the meaning of the word for prayer isn't just an engagement with the Spirit of the Lord. So we come in with our side, God comes in with his intention, his desire, and the way that the word is used in the Greek, it actually means he influences you. And so when you guys end up having a meeting, what you end up discovering is God's plan is better for you, and after you come out of it, you say, I've become satisfied because I've met God in prayer. Now, can you imagine? That's the whole definition of the Greek word for prayer. And then the first part of the here's that word for prayer in the Greek New Testament, then it adds what's called a definitive statement. So it's saying, this is so necessary, God's going to put a powerful, you really need to do this, and that's the word for prayer in the Greek New Testament. So let's see if you guys can go here with me. The Bible is saying there's so much that happens to you in this. I'm going to emphasize that idea that I want you to go into this prayer circle with your will, your desires, and stand there and have a meeting with God, because God is going to come with his power and glory, and he's going to meet you, and a transformation is going to happen to you, and you're going to walk out of it going, this is the most powerful thing I've ever seen. That's the word for prayer in the New Testament. Now, that kind of makes it sound different, doesn't it? It's like, why wouldn't I want to go do that? So that's just the definition of the word. Let's keep moving on in the passage. You should always pray and not give up. So let's work through that. So I'm going to back up. I just explained the meaning of the word prayer, but Jesus started saying this is necessary. You need to do this. The word necessary, the way that we would probably understand it, or I looked at it when I saw it, is I just thought he was saying, well, this would probably be a good idea. That's not the Greek word here. This is the word for lifestyle or flowing. So what is the lifestyle or the flowing? The necessary is, so it's saying every time you engage the kingdom, it flows you right into prayer. So it's like catching onto a river. You guys ready? Anytime I want to catch on to God, what he's going to say is we're going to go into the prayer circle. That's the first thing we're going to do. So that's why it's necessary. It's necessary to pray and not lose heart. Let's move on. So he says that you should always pray. You guys realize if it's necessary, it's like catching onto a river. It's saying don't resist the river. That's what it means by say always pray. Don't resist the river. Have any of you ever been on a river? Have you kind of told the river, now we're going to go this way? So, catch the idea. If prayer is the river of the kingdom of God, it actually means you jump in and you let the river take you into the presence of God. You don't come in and say, well, I'm going to paddle this way and I'm going to paddle that way, because you're fighting the river. And the Bible is saying, don't resist the river, go with it. So I don't know what that speaks to you guys, but that's saying this whole thing that we see in the New Testament where it talks about flow in the Spirit. It's saying that prayer is catching on to the river of God, and every prayer encounter is actually catching into the river. And so you don't know where the river's going to take you every day you jump into it, but it has a specific place it's going with you. So that means this week you're hoping God will do this in prayer, but what if God says, well, let's go down this part of the river that you've never experienced? So it's now saying the life force is to jump into the river to have a meeting with God. So we should pray. Not give up. Let's take that word, not give up. It's fascinating. So Jesus, he's about to tell the story, and I'm going to go into it here. But he says, hey, you should always get in the river. You should let it take you to a prayer encounter with God. You should expect God to show up in that prayer encounter, and you become satisfied from that encounter. And then he says, but something's now going to come against you that's going to make you not do it. It's this word, not give up. So what could be so dramatic about that word that we would lose heart and not pray? The Bible's trying to say this is something you'll enjoy, jump in the river. It's something that you'll want to see change every area of your life. And yet it's saying this word in the Greek New Testament, and this is why he has to tell the story, this word has an incredible impact on the soul of mankind to the effect that believers even want to give up not praying. So what's the word? Never give up. What's the Greek word here? Okay, so it means that what happens is if God is inviting you into the river and to have a prayer, enter in the prayer circle with God, to have an encounter, what you look at with your natural eyes ends up having a profound effect on your soul and if you think God's going to meet you. And so this word for not give up means looking at circumstances and letting it wound your soul. Now, why do people not pray about things? Because they don't believe God's going to do anything. They look at the circumstance and they go through an evaluation in their own heart and they say, this is too difficult. I don't see how God's going to do this, so I'm not going to go even get in the river or expect to have a meeting with God because I don't believe anything can change. Now do you understand the parable? Just by the words leading up to it, now he's going to come into the parable and he's going to say, hey, here's a woman that has no standing. You guys understand, in the nation of Israel, women had no standing. Here's a woman who has no standing. Here's a judge. When the judge says something, that's the end of the conversation. And she's now going to enter into it, and she has this thing going on in her heart. And for years, I used to look at this story and think, the principle here is, not that God's like the judge, that's not what the story's talking about. And it's not, I used to think for years it was about perseverance, but that's not what the parable is about. The parable is about looking beyond your circumstance to the fact that God can do anything. And that God, now think about this, what is the intent of prayer? Why do I actually pray about stuff? Is it because I'm frustrated? Hey God, do you see how evil the world is? Is that the point? Is it just therapeutic? Or is the Bible actually coming and saying, it's not just therapeutic, there's an end goal here. God wants to change something. And when we begin to understand this whole, at least in this story, the whole purpose of the story is to say something that cannot be changed, God wants to change, and something has affected this woman where she can see beyond it, and she's going to stay with it until she sees that released. She's now, this person that's being used in the parable is now being brought up as an example of people that constantly do this in the Old and New Testament. There are certain people in certain stories where there's an obstacle in front of them. There's no way you think anything's going to change, but there's something that's going on in certain people's hearts where they can look beyond it into, this is the God I serve, and so this is not impossible, and they enter into a transforming experience in their generation. You would see this with like Joshua and Caleb. They see the same thing that the other spies see, but they see God being victorious. They don't see giants in the land. By the way, as a natural story, I was thinking about this as I was getting ready. Do you remember the Syrophoenician woman who came and asked Jesus to heal her daughter of being demonized? Do you guys remember this story? And she wasn't part of the nation of Israel. And Jesus said, hey, it's not right to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. And she said, that's actually true. But Lord, even the crumbs from the master's table, the dog gets. And he looked at her and commended her about something that he kept trying to help the children of Israel to recognize. Look at this. The woman doesn't even know. She's not even in covenant relationship with me, and she gets me. What's that thing in that person's heart? This is what Jesus is now working on with our prayer life. He's trying to say prayer is that place of transformation. It gives the ability to look beyond things and say everything can change because of this person I'm walking with. I've been saying this the last few weeks. I hope I don't wear you guys out with this. But God doesn't bring you into prayer or into battles that he's not determined for you to change and for you to win. Or a better way of saying, for him to win. So if God invites you into the river and you have a meeting and you say, hey, I have this problem, or here's a situation I don't know how to change, or here's what's going on in the world, God doesn't invite you in that and go, gosh, I know, it's really tough, isn't it? Now here, feel better. Now go and just, I'm not going to win this thing. I'm just going to leave you suffer and be destroyed. That's not who you're dealing with. You're dealing with a transformative being. And so now Jesus is telling, here's a mystery out of the kingdom. Why do people give up when this powerful thing can happen? Because when they look at circumstances, in a sense, it wounds their heart, and then what happens is it enters into them, and they struggle with two problems in the kingdom of God. Lack of faith and unbelief. So could you imagine the Bible's actually saying you can look at your circumstances and be infected by it to such an extent you assume that God doesn't want to do something. Or it could be so overwhelming you think, there's no way. How? How could God do this? Now, as you and I talk about this subject, this is a funny thing about prayer. I don't know if you guys see it as being funny. But prayer is to be invited into the impossible all the time. Could you imagine an eternity past when the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit was creating you and determining what you would be like and who you would be and the time you would live in human history? He knew all the circumstances that you were going to be put in, and he said, all right, I'm going to take Melanie, and I'm going to fashion her in such a way, and then I'm going to put her here, and there's going to be all these unbelievable circumstances, but because of the way I've made her to overcome. So that actually means that we've all been fashioned for this season in life to walk with God and see his victory. So everything we're facing, all the craziness in the world, you'd be bored if you were in some other generation. You were fashioned for this. And God is saying, don't look at all that. I've fashioned you to be in this place. This is the person I wanted here, us. In our time, this is our struggle. Isn't that great? And Jesus wants to teach our generation the victory of God. Interesting enough, now let's move on to the woman. So the woman now begins to look at this thing, and she realizes, I'm not giving up until victory happens. The last several months, I think I've shared with you guys, and if I haven't, and if this is the first time you heard me say this, since when all this fun stuff started happening in our culture, the Lord changed my prayer expression in one sense. He moved me to actually engage with people every day. So every day I call a group of people. We pray for our nation. And we do a very specific type of prayer, and we do it every day. It doesn't matter if I'm traveling or not traveling, and the person I talk with is in Minnesota, and we're on a specific track to see God to do a specific thing. And so we've been doing this for over a year. Lo and behold, I don't know when you guys are ever given, God says, hey, pray for this really hard thing. I don't know what you do to encourage yourself, right? But for some odd reason, I keep going to all things. Do you guys ever watch the movie Braveheart? I keep going to the place where they come to take on the army of England. And they're overwhelmed. And this is where he gives his speech. You guys, I can't quote it. I've seen that 300 times. Yeah. But he basically comes and says, hey, You were created to be free. What are you going to do with your freedom? And they're like, well, we're going to run away. And he goes, you could do that, but you're going to die. And are you going to regret the fact that when God brought you into this place, you said to your enemies, I'm free? And every time I see that, I mean, it stirs me, and I love the music and everything, but there's something he did. The first part of the scene was he goes and he looks at the army, and there's this intensity that comes over him. Now, I think that's what goes on here. When you see things from God's perspective, whatever rises up against you, you look at it as, oh, isn't this awesome? I get to go into this. And then, I know you guys enjoy this part. I'm not going to do all the violent cutting up body parts and all that other stuff. It's just that they get to the end and they win the battle. Now, this is where God has taken us. Why does God make us stick into this hard place and go after hard things in prayer? Because I believe when we get on the other side, an awakening is going to happen. And that's what happened in the scene with William Wallace. You guys remember? He's all full of blood. He walks up on the hill and he just takes his sword. Ah! Do you guys remember that? I'm sure all the women listening to him now are going, really? Seriously? Do you have to use this as an illustration? Then he turns around at the men and he does it with them. Ah! Right? And all of a sudden, it's amazing what that story or that picture shows us is he had become his faith in that situation to be an overcomer. He's rewarding it by what's called the warrior cry. And there's something about being in that hard place and sticking with the Lord and coming out on the other end, you're changed. When we look at these things that the Lord wants to come and he says, now here's a hard place I'm going to take you, but I want to talk to you about that hard place. I think what God is doing is he's preparing us to say, yes, I know you feel weak, and yes, I know you think that you can't overcome this, and yes, it looks impossible, but I'm going to walk with you through this, and I'm going to show you something of my nature, and on the other end, when I get done with it, it's like you've gone through a boot camp, and instead of just being a person that can hardly do anything, you come out on the other end, and now you're ready to be used by the Lord and to walk in things that you've never walked in before. That's why impossibilities are called the joy of the kingdom. And the people of Israel, which we really are in the sight of the Lord, we're his people. He loves bringing us into this stuff. Some of the looks on your guys' face. Now, think about the things. Let's make this right where you're at. Think about the things that God is saying. Pray about this. Look what it looks like. Do you feel overwhelmed by this? Jump in the river with me. Don't let the circumstances interpret what you think is going to happen. Stay with me in it. I'll change you. I'll bring a breakthrough. I'm going to finish it with this. I think I shared with you guys a couple of months ago, a friend of mine has an angel appear in their backyard. Yes. Oh, okay. So I just got back there from 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and it's still going on. And it's so funny to go in their backyard and just watch groups of people show up and then just fall on the ground and lay there for hours. And I just watch them. I can't go join them all the time, but I watch them, and periodically I go there, and the Lord engages me again. I'm like, this is so fascinating. And when it first started happening, the Lord told me, now, Brian, this is a pool of refreshing. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean? He says, and I'm going to start doing this in the United States. He's going to have places of pools of refreshing. And you guys, if you're like me, when God tells me this kind of stuff, I go, well, I don't know what to do with that, and I don't know what to say to people in regard except here's information. So that's still going on. I still was trying to sleep, and I could hear people screaming outside the window, ah, falling on the ground, doing all that stuff. And just like you guys asked for the address, some people in Kansas City that I meet with said, what's the address? And I told them, and they actually drove up there and hung out. I was like, wow, they're desperate. Now, I'm going to go. I'm there this week again. So I'm looking forward to what's about to happen. But when God said, that's a pool of refreshing, I'm going to start doing it in the United States, I really want to encourage you guys. I don't know what's going on. I mean, I do, but I don't know how it's going to happen. This is really taking place. So you guys need to start being expecting this. I went to La Crosse, Wisconsin last weekend, and we were doing a series of meetings, which is fine. But on Saturday night, the Spirit of the Lord just came into the meeting and just stopped the whole entire meeting. The pastor was apologizing, well, we're not going to let Brian come up and speak. Like, I mean, seriously, guys, I'd rather have God show up and me just sit in the audience a million times over. I don't have a big deal about I have to stand up and talk all the time. And so God showed up in the meeting for over 2.5 hours. The Spirit of the Lord ministered to us in a season of just the presence of the Lord. That's all we did on Saturday night, 100 of us. I think God's trying to get us ready for something, guys. We're coming into a season. Prepare for it. We're being invited back into the river. Are you guys ready for it? Let's pray. We so need you. Jesus, we need you. I mean, really, we need you, Lord. Lord, just as we even see in your word, Moses said, Lord, we really can't go up without your presence. We need your presence. All of us in our individual lives need your presence. Our nation needs your presence. In your tender mercy, would you come near our soul and, just like wineskin, would you just stretch us right now for a new wine? Sometimes we look at the capacity of what we believe we're able to receive from you. I ask that you would expand that right now. Just this much, Lord. No, Lord, more. We need more. I bless the new wine that's coming. I bless what you have intended for our country. I bless this fellowship of brothers and sisters that know you. Visit us, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, feel free to drop us a line at emmausfellowship@icloud.com. If you're curious about ways you can be more deeply involved in this community, visit our website at emmausfellowship.org and be sure to like our Facebook page.